tell me something I don't know.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Tim Clare, and ça est une chanson by Herman June called Sell Me Something I Don't Know.
Did he realise that you did that in French?
What?
Yeah. And a life can be tough, and a time can be slow. There's no need to give up, there's a place you can go. It's a place I know, and it's called the Tim and John Show.
The Tim and John afternoon session. It's 8 minutes past 12. My name's Tim Clare. The gentleman in the very nice pinstriped shirt over there is John Osborne. How are you, John?
Not pinstripes, is it?
Well, it's stripes.
Yeah,
going vertical stripes. What's the difference between vertical stripes and pinstripes?
A pinstripe sounds a bit smarter and a bit more
fancy.
Elegant.
All right, you're kind of like smart casual.
Yeah.
Stripy shirt, if I'd said, there's the guy in the stripy shirt, then people at home would have imagined you sort of dressed a bit like kind of like a clown or a deck chair, and you actually look much more dapper than that.
Yes, I do. I look quite, I look all right. I look all right.
How are you? Tell me some things. Well, we've got some exciting things on the show today. You're going to talk about another US president from your increasing collection of all the presidents.
It's
that's the name of the feature, isn't it?
All the presidents. Yeah. It's our regular feature where I profile a different American president every week because I'm thick and I don't know much about history or culture, so I thought I would teach myself about a different president every week. And today it's the 21st president of America.
Oh, I don't think you need to know. We all know who that is.
And also the one with the best name is Arthur Chester. He sounds like a fascio character. He's got Arthur Allen Chester.
Oh.
And he's a fascinating boy.
His middle name's Alan.
Yeah, it's a great middle name, isn't it? Like Rio Ferdinand's middle name is Gavin. It's pretty ridiculous. So that'll be coming up maybe in the next hour or so.
I literally know nothing about that president. Although, wasn't he the 21st president?
That's right, yeah.
I know that, but aside from that, I'm all out. And we are hopefully going to have a special guest on the show today, innit, John?
Innit.
Yeah,
hopefully Tim Key's on the show.
Hopefully the poet and comedian Tim Key.
That'd be nice.
We'll be speaking to him.
He's doing his show in at the Playhouse at the weekend.
He's coming to Norwich this weekend, and tickets are still available. And he's going to make his case to the people of Norwich why they should please come and see his show and spend the weekend with their loved ones. You could take your loved ones to the show, but you probably wouldn't want to.
We could see your loved ones. Nip out, go and see Tim Key, and then nip back in. Hello, loved ones.
Wow.
Still here.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a bit drunk.
Anne arrived the following August. She looked dead guilty as she and her husband laid four fresh lilies on Martin's skeleton. There was a note attached. Everything's been really hectic recently. She kissed a rib and left. Bright red with embarrassment.
That was Tim Key being recorded. Well, not being... Well, I suppose he was being recorded at the time, but you were listening to the playback of the recording. But we've got the real Tim Key on the air.
Have you just explained how CDs work?
Yeah, I did. Well, I like to do that. And very pithily, I might add. But we've got Tim Key. Hello, Tim Key.
Hello. That was the real Tim Key as well, I think, as I remember it.
That was Tim Key as well, but this is...
This is more real.
Yeah, this is real. How are you, Tim?
I'm good, yeah, not bad.
Where are you?
I'm walking along, I'm taking a back street route between King's Cross and Oxford Circus to avoid any loud noises.
Okay.
Oh, wow. What I might do as well, just in your honour, is sit in a green bit for a bit to do this interview.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That's exciting. Kind
it's
of
all
like,
about finding one, isn't it?
Yeah, the like little patch of verdancy in London. So are you about to go on tour? Is that correct? Or are you already, is the tour kicked off? Or is it about to kick off this week?
No, it's about to kick off. I mean, that's the thing. It's kicking off with Norwich. That's how I always kick it off.
Really? Do you like Norwich?
Yeah.
Are you a Norwich fan?
What are you talking about? I love Norwich.
You love Norwich? Tell us...
I'm kicking off there and then I'm staying there for several weeks before I move on.
Why do you like Norwich? Tell us Norwich things.
Norwich things. I used to go there... My godfather was from Norwich. Is from Norwich. So I used to sort of go there. You know when you kind of it's sold as a slight holiday when you go and see aunts or uncles. Mm. And so I used to go on holiday to Norwich, but you don't know any better, do you?
Well, we live here. Every day's a holiday in Norwich for us.
Well, it has got that sort of vibe about it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I really like it. I remember that because it was quite a surreal experience. Well, surreal is maybe not the right word. Kind of a difficult experience when you go on tour. The first time I went on tour, I just remember very clearly how I was feeling walking around Norwich because I was about to do my first gig on my tour, and you just worry that everyone will just think it's rubbish. And so it was kind of a combination of that grey, ominous feeling hanging over me and then just sort of waddling around your nice little shops and things.
Yeah.
Nice, Norwich.
So, Tim, we've kind of, like, softened you up with an easy introduction question. I'm going to go
that
straight
wasn't that
into
easy.
The...
I have to say how much I like Norwich.
I'm going to go into the kind of, like, I'm going to unleash a journalistic pit bull. Tim Key, have you ever considered doing a three-man show with either Trevor or Sean Locke... And also the Turkish professional footballer and football manager Bülent Under, and you could call it Under Lock and Key.
What are you talking about? Of course, I've considered that. I've got a preliminary design for a poster.
You could start your tour in Norwich.
Of course, I've started in Norwich. Where else? I'm just trying to. I'm in talks with Under. Under is surprisingly difficult to prize away from his contract at Galatasaray. Or wherever he might be. I mean, I suppose that's racist, just assuming that all Turkish managers manage Galatasaray. I guess they can't all do that.
Milan Baros plays for Galatasaray now.
Well, rightly so.
Yeah.
That is the sort of thing that happens, isn't it?
I'm
old enough to remember Dean Saunders played for Galatasaray.
That was exciting, wasn't it? And didn't Darius Fasel go there as well? Or was that a different Turkish club?
I think he might have fallen to the same trap as I did a minute ago.
The old racism.
He might be more of a than a Batche style player. I don't think he'd quite fit into the Galatasaray system, would he, Fasel?
I don't think so.
He's not direct enough.
Tim Clare is always very awkward when the subject of sports comes.
Edgy sporto banter, yes, and yeah. It's good.
No, I heard his head drop there.
So I've written three questions for you. Do you want the first one, the second one, or the third one?
I think we'll start with the first one.
Oh, wow, yeah. That was exciting, wasn't it? It's hearing someone arm wrestle with their own indifference.
Okay,
I'm not indifferent. I love number one. I think one ahead of two and three. Go on, what is this first question? That'd be good. I found some grass, by the way.
Wow.
Okay.
Tavistock Square.
Ah, nice. Question number one, do you like Blur?
Yeah, I do like Blur.
Okay, excellent. Do we need to... continue that.
Go to question two.
Question two.
No, let's stay on question one.
Okay.
I'll be the judge when we move to question two. I love Blur. Go on.
Which era Blur? What's your favourite Blur album?
I don't know. Park Life, is that one?
that is a Blur album. He does like Blur, this guy.
Is he in, was, I love was Park. He in Blur?
My favourite track on it is Park Life.
Whoa. Question number two. Is Steve Coogan nice?
Oh.
He's an actor and comedian.
Yeah. You take as he's fine, don't you? I mean, I like Steve Coogan. He's very nice, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's kind of the whole thing is... the whole thing's a bit much for me, so I can't work out what's going on. But he's always really nice, but, I mean, to be honest, there's other things that when I... because I work with him, and when I work with him, there's too many problems floating about to wonder whether he's nice. I'm just sort of concentrating on not ruining the whole Alan Partridge franchise, mainly.
And you managed to not ruin it. You were, in fact, good, some people might say.
Some people would say you contributed.
Yeah, well, I hope so, because it was it's quite frightening to do. I mean, I remember doing it the first time and leaving the office and walking home and thinking, yeah, that is very much in the balance. I think I might have ruined Partridge. Finally watched this space. Yeah, it's quite, because you don't want to do that to yourself. When you're kind of, 18, that's your sort of, it's such a big part of growing up. I love it. And then, so the idea of, like, 17 years later being plonked in a room with him, there's sort of, I don't know, there was quite a lot of pressure exerted on me, almost entirely all of it from my 18-year-old self.
Yeah.
Thinking, what would my 18-year-old self think if he were to be given this opportunity and wreck it? So it's quite a difficult job.
And it was also
his Googan was very nice. I once had a pint of beer with him.
Oh. Wow, a whole pint.
That's
well,
one of the
there
big
or thereabouts. Yeah, it was one of those glasses. So it must have been a pint.
you trust. There's an element of trust there, isn't there?
And also, like, it was really nice because you also helped to undermine the prestige of local Norfolk radio stations as well while you were doing this. So it was good.
We've all got to contribute, haven't we? We've all got to do our bit.
Me and John have been doing it for a year, every week, to be fair.
You're in the box seat, aren't you?
Are you ready for question three? Oh, is there going to be any more psychic, Simon? Or is that it?
Well, I never know. I'm a kind of... I don't want to jinx it. So I always kind of... I always assume that that's it, and that they are now sort of using my face as a dartboard in their production office.
Well,
but we have shot some more, so
okay.
Unless the cameras were not rolling, I guess I might be in it again, hopefully.
Well, there's plenty of chairs in the radio studio where Tim Clare and I are now, so you can always be our sidekick, Simon, if you like.
I'd love to. That sounds like a good stepping stone.
So, it'd be good exposure.
Yeah, it would be good exposure. I mean, it must be fun. How regularly do you host your show?
It's every week.
Every week, Tuesdays, and we just play music and talk and stuff.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I mean, host might be, you might be some semantic widening going on there. We certainly attend the show.
Right. Are you attending?
Yeah.
Well, it does happen. I mean, so who do you think is hosting it? Is there, like, a really experienced DJ who's just sort of...
Well, aren't we all hosts in our own way?
No.
I feel like I'm a bit of a host.
Yeah, you are doing the heavy lifting at the moment.
Yeah.
Question
are you
three,
guys both okay? Just make yourself comfortable. You can leave the studio for a bit if you want. Okay. Am I on air as well?
Yeah.
So I assume I can just sort of talk to people for a bit.
You can. I mean, I do need a wee, so possibly.
If you go for a wee, and John, if you think of something to do, and then I'll just take over for
I could go and check on the security of the car park.
You could, or you could also do a wee.
I've just had one.
Oh, that's annoying.
Prepared.
Okay, well, you stay here then.
That's why we compliment each other so well, you see, because we're kind of like polar opposites. I need a wee, he doesn't.
Yeah, constantly.
I do kind of like the idea of both of us leaving the studio, but leaving Tim Key's microphone up and seeing what happens.
Yeah, it's all a trust thing, though, isn't it?
Hashtag golden radio,
yeah. Hey?
Stunts.
What I could do is... I'm now walking along the street, so I could just give my phone to this businessman and say, can you just keep talking for a bit? My friend is ill, and they just need to hear your thoughts. And then you'd have a very interesting radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like kind of like a satire on the kind of like modern media landscape, which is, isn't it all voiced by a faceless businessman?
Yeah, exactly. I think the key with that is to last 3 minutes. I think it is like a weekly two-hour slot where a businessman talks to an imaginary ill person.
The problem is that wouldn't be one of our more unusual radio shows. That would just fit the slot right in.
Yeah, the worry would be if you start getting loads of emails with people saying, a vast improvement. Bring back the businessman talking to the imaginary ill person.
How do you feel about moving on to question three?
Well, I feel like we don't want to get bogged down on question two, do we? That happened with question one.
Yeah.
So I think we'll move on to question three now.
Excellent.
Nice and swift. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing AstroTurf trainers.
Colour?
Jeans. Colour black.
Okay.
Black and white. Jeans, blue jeans, and then a black and white tracksuit top.
As
if I was about to go and play football. That's my look.
Do you want to know?
I was about to go and play football, and I got a text after I'd left the house saying the football's been cancelled.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I would hate that.
Yeah. Should I have done more sexily? Do you want me to do it more huskily, that bit?
Yeah, yes, please.
I thought that was quite husky. Don't up
no,
up
I can do it more. I can go sexier than that, thank you, Tim. Okay. I'm wearing... AstroTurf trainers. Black. Actually, maybe I can't. annoying.
That sounded more aggressive than anything else.
Well, there's a fine line, isn't there?
Yes, apparently so.
Let's talk more about what you do, as people who are listening might want to then go and buy a ticket for your show on Friday and Saturday.
Yes, let's talk more about that.
Do you want to talk about your show? Do you want to explain your show, or are you bored of doing that? It's quite...
No, I'm not. I'm quite happy to. I'm very passionate about my show. It's right on my street.
Is it good?
I think it's good.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it is, actually. Yeah. I mean, I like it. I always enjoy doing it.
I mean,
it's fun to do, but it's whether or not it's sort of more of a participation sport or a spectator sport.
Explain...
It feels like it's a spectator sport as well. People quite enjoy it.
A sort of audience gather, do they?
Yeah, they come along and they sort of do their bit, and then I do my bit. It's like a contract, isn't it, that we're all bound into. And at the end, we all have to go home. And we've all learned nothing, but we've all enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah.
They've given me their money. That's the bit that people get annoyed about. The basic sort of building blocks of the show is me standing there wearing a suit and doing poems, and just to my right, quite a large white bath full of really hot water and bubbles.
So you can do sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think even though those building blocks are in place, I wouldn't say it ever becomes sexy. It sometimes veers into aggressive. But no, maybe there's some sexy. I once talked to a girl about her bathing habits, and she had quite a deep voice. And that felt sexy, but you never know, really, do you? I can never work out what is and isn't sexy.
Well, the bit where you said, I once talked to a girl, I found that quite sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's basically my internal monologue. Yeah. I always tell myself that. I have talked to these people. Yeah, so that's more or less what I do, really. It's a strange old job, isn't it? Come into the idea of touring again, and going to all these different towns.
But then you get out there and you see all the people staring at you, looking like a fire in a tailor's dummy shop, and you just kind of go, I'd like to be writing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's more... Actually, the biggest one is probably the other way around, from writing, where you just have loads of writing to do, and it's difficult to write, because writing's very hard and very underrated as a thing to do. It's very difficult, and it's those times where you're sort of writing and you haven't got anything done, and it's 6:30, and you've just given your whole day over to trying to write something, and it hasn't worked. And there's those points where
you've just summed up Manny Tim's life.
Really easy.
yeah, that came so close to the bone there. I know,
it's horrible. That bit where you just think, oh, God, it's when you haven't got anything planned in the evening that's the problem, because you just think, at 6, you think, well, there's no need to panic. I'll just keep on.
Yeah.
I'll have another cup of tea, because I've got the whole evening ahead of me. And then it gets to 9, and you just think, this is a very similar feeling to when it was 6.
Yeah,
well, that's why I don't get on with my wife, because she comes home and she's just like her face appearing is a searing indictment of the fact that I've failed the day. So
yeah, exactly. That's the thing you get. Whatever your job is, almost all jobs there's an end to it, and writing there just isn't an end to it. It's open. It's always open.
I can't help but think this has come a little bit more low-key since my excellent three-pronged attack of questions.
Yeah, I wish I'd started with this one. We might never have got around to our interesting chat about Blur.
So, sort of like to end on a high then, tell us about any exciting projects that you've got coming up. Tell us something secret in the pipeline that you've got on the horizon.
Secret in the pipeline.
On the horizon.
I think I've got a secret one.
Wicked.
I've got a really tiny, tiny part in what I think is going to be a really nice film, which is an adaptation of The Double by Dostoevsky.
Really?
Directed by Richard Iowady.
Oh, yeah. Wow!
I think that's... I haven't heard anyone talk about that.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. It's not a lie.
Already been filmed, or is that future?
It's filmed, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I might watch that.
Well, it's really good because because I do a bit of acting. I sometimes get sent like scripts and things, and a lot of these sort of scripts are quite sort of poor. And then when I got sent that one, it is it's really good. Maybe just because it's sort of up my street, but it's really it's a very strange, bleak, dark, peculiar, but a very funny film. And Ayoade is a very, very clever little man, I think. So I think it will be quite good.
His star is definitely on the ascendant. He's done some very awesome things, and that sounds like a really exciting project.
Yeah, he's a very, very smart cookie. Oh, of course, because you're friends with Joe.
We are as well, so the kind of like, that little mafia of people glad handing each other up the greasy pole includes us in that sphere, absolutely.
Yeah, I love your mafia. It's very, very good.
Nice mafia.
Yeah. The world needs more nice mafias.
Yeah. So is acting like something that's excites you? Like the first time I became aware of you was with Cowards on Radio 4 and on BBC 4. Is that gone for good? Why wasn't there more Cowards?
Yeah, I don't know. That makes me sad because, I thought we did that really well.
It's brilliant.
They told us to do 3 episodes, and I think there's a lot going on. There's always a lot going on with these things, and that's kind of the frustrating thing because you just kind of, it stops and you just don't know who's, you don't know who did it. You don't know who said, that's got to stop. And so you just kind of find yourself just helplessly just looking at this word, BBC, just thinking. And also, everyone I've met from the BBC has always, who's seen Cowards, just said, oh, that was great. That was really amusing. Who is it?
You could probably do a Freedom of Information Act request on BBC emails and then find out the person it did and start a personal
vendetta. There's some naysayer somewhere who said, I don't think we need these pricks anymore, which is a shame. But no, it was really enjoyable to do. And but also, you know, we were quite relatively younger than now, anyway, and it was our first sort of go. And so I kind of thought, we haven't quite nailed it, but then I saw it, and you know, they sort of, it was beautifully kind of directed and edited, and you look at it and you think, yeah, that's actually not too far away from what we wanted to do, and I'm really proud of it, and that's the frustration, that we only got to make 3, and I just think if they just let us, you know, go away for 6 months and come back with another, you know, 3 episodes of writing and shoot it, I think we'd have made those 3 better than the first 3, and that would have been a really nice 6 episodes.
This is Future Radio 107.8.
Thanks ever so much for coming on the show, Tim, and chatting to us as you negotiate the back alleys of London. Lovely to speak
to you. Also, what I wanted to say, John, I just listened to, after all this time, to your radio show on my way to work this morning.
Oh, okay.
So good, I loved it.
Oh, thank you very much. It's taken you a while.
Thank you very much.
I know,
it took
me
about a year.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's brilliant.
Oh, thank you very much, Tim. I really appreciate that.
Fantastic. Any more housekeeping to do? It's cheap.
We don't have to pay for this, you see. Love you both, Tim.
Oh, thank you. Cheers. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks very much, Tim. Take care.
Cheers. See you, Tim.
See you soon.
Bye bye.
That was Tim Key, and this is David Bowie. Involves 5, Do It Anyway.
That's great.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, like, I think Ben Folds 5 are a band that you really need to see live, because whereas, you know, being a 3-piece and also being brilliant musicians, there's just something incredible about seeing them live. And every time I've seen, well, Ben Folds, but especially Ben Folds 5 live, I've just been absolutely blown away. Ben Folds is also, for those of you who have seen him live will know this, that he's got a tendency to just sometimes improvise songs as well, based on someone shouting something out in the audience or something ambient going on. In fact, he did a series of things with
He did one tour with, well, you know, Chat Roulette, the
thing that was massive for about a month.
Yeah, I suppose the reason that it didn't really take off is because there was just lots of naked people on it, as he discovered when he
not
tried
good
to
naked
do it.
People either bad naked people.
And that's an important distinction because otherwise people go, why wasn't that the most popular thing ever? Well, yeah, that's
bad naked people's a title of my new album.
Wow, excellent. So, coming up later in the show, probably reasonably soon, we've got John Osborne talking about a new president. What was his name? Arthur Griffiths.
Arthur Chester.
Arthur Chester. Lovely. And you can find back.
He sounds like a cheeky chappy, doesn't he?
He does sound like a cheeky chappy. He also sounds like the 21st president of the United States.
I'm going to call my first album Arthur Chester.
Oh, John, you've got so many... You're going to have to write a load of albums now.
A load of first albums.
The cool title. We're also going to talk a bit about what's been going on in the news.
Kevin Peterson. Ooh. He's not been named in the England squad.
Oh, this is Sporto news.
Sport news, yeah.
The England squad. The squad for what sport?
Cricket.
Cricket? Yeah. Oh, what? Wow.
Four. Six, even better.
Six, that's when it goes up in the air and over the line, isn't it?
That's
yeah,
it.
See? So some of you thinking, sitting back in your chair, thinking, Tim Clare knows a few things about cricket. Googly.
Googly, yeah. That's when it goes like that out of the back of your hand. I can bowl a googly. I'm a good spin bowler.
Off
spin. That's the other type with your fingers. How long are we going to do this for?
Cricketing terms. Stumps.
Stumps, yeah.
Excellent. Crease. Okay. We're going to list...
Bat.
We're going to list...
Ball.
Seam. That's what I do, is I just put like a little bit of dirt in the seam and it allows me to what?
Shh, don't admit that on air.
Sledging.
Mm.
Yeah, see? So I don't know what I'm saying. That's We Are Scientists with Chick Lit, John Osborne. How are you, and are you going to... I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I can't possibly do a president because I don't hear this noise.
He's not called Arthur Chester, he's called Chester Arthur. Sorry. That's even better. Because I was reading through my notes and it said, President Arthur. And I thought, that's very familiar. Okay, this is the latest President of the American... President of America, I'm not doing very well, Tim.
John, he's not the latest President of America. That's Obama, you're rewriting history.
The latest in my series is Chester Arthur, who's the 21st President of the United States, who served in office from 1881 to 1885. He became President after the assassination of President James Garfield. Journalist Alex...
I like the name James Garfield as well. But it makes me imagine him being shot wearing a Garfield mask.
It makes me think of the death of
D-Day on Mondays. On Monday, that would have been...
Journalist Alexander McClaw wrote, "No man ever entered the presidency so profoundly and widely distrusted as Chester Arthur, and no one ever retired more generally respected, alike by political friend and foe." And I've got 10...
It's like your radio career, isn't it?
It is a little bit. I've got 10 interesting facts about Chester
I'll
Arthur.
I'll be the judge of that.
Arthur was sometimes called Elegant Arthur. For his interest in fashionable attire, and on his last day in office, four young women offered to marry him. That can't be true.
Was he married when he was in office, though? I thought
he must have been, because I think we've done a president in the past.
That was the only bachelor.
Yeah, so he must have been.
Well, those women were barking up the wrong. They're mad.
It was said he had over 80 pairs of pants and often changed them several times a day.
Is that American pants or English pants?
I know that means trousers, but I just like statistically. Yeah, 80 pairs of underpants.
Oh, that would be amazing.
80 pairs of underpants is the title of my new album.
I like the idea that they're all hanging up like Batman suits in the Batcave as well.
Arthur was a skilled fisherman. He belonged to the Rusty Goosh. I don't know why I put words in here that I don't know how to say. Salmon group.
Rusty Goosh.
A group of fishermen from New York who travelled to Canada to fish. A skilled fisherman, he once reportedly caught a 70-pound bass off the coast of Rhode Island.
Bass.
A double bass. Arthur liked to take friends on late-night walks around Washington, D.C., sometimes as late as 3 or 4 in the morning.
My favourite fact.
It was rare for him to be in bed before 2 o'clock.
Oh, what a tinker.
Probably playing on Champ Manager.
Elegant, not elegant Arthur.
Arthur requested standardised time. At the request of President Arthur, the International Meridian Conference was held in Washington, D.C. in October 1884 to determine the prime meridian of the world. The conference established the Greenwich Meridian and International Standardised Time, which are both still recognised today.
I'm glad someone did that. What did they do before? Just people went, oh, it's... Yeah. Just what you felt like.
Just missed neighbours all the time.
Good lad.
He was the first president... first time a president was sworn in at a president's home. Is that understandable?
Yeah, it was the first time he was sworn in at his home rather than, presumably, then normally...
Yeah, he actually took the oath twice. The first time at his personal residence in New York.
Nice.
Hours after President Garfield died.
Because it was
died.
An assassination, so it had to be rushed.
Yeah.
And because after JFK was assassinated, what's his name? JB Sports. you know the one with the B that's in the middle of the name. He was sworn in on Air Force One.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yeah, Lyndon B. Yeah. Johnson. JB Sports. Brilliant.
JB Sports wasn't a president.
that was a trick question.
Arthur took the oath again 2 days later. That was performed to clear up any dispute over whether the first oath was official, since it was administered by a state, not a federal official.
and he was drunk at the time.
Number three, Arthur destroyed all his records. After spending the summer in Connecticut, Arthur returned home very ill. He ordered the burning of nearly all of his personal and official papers and died 2 years later.
Oh, I thought you meant like his LPs.
And he died 2 days later.
Oh.
He had no vice president. He served briefly as President Garfield's vice president, and after Garfield's death, he just didn't have a vice president. Didn't need one. And number one...
I still might imagine that he had Vice President Garfield, who's, like, wanted more lasagna and no Mondays.
Vice President Charlie Brown. After Garfield's...
That's another cartoon character, so... Yep.
After Garfield's death... Arthur did not immediately move into the White House. He insisted it be redecorated and had 24 wagon loads of furniture hauled off and sold at public auction.
Awesome.
The pieces included some dating back to John Adams' term, who I think was the third president, and would be considered priceless today. It depends what he did with the money that he got from that. If he just, like...
Probably bought clothes, knowing elegant Arthur.
Bought some pants. And that's the 21st president of the United States.
I thought with 5 seconds to go that would sound like more clean. That was brilliant, John.
Good.
Good old, what was his name?
Chester Arthur.
Chester Arthur.
Chester Allen Arthur.
Elegant Arthur.
That's a proper tune. King of the Curve by Echo Belly.
Do you think, despite their being really good, that Echo Belly is not really a good name for the band? That it leads you to expect... I think when you hear Echo Belly, it leads you to expect kind of like gritty bluegrass.
Okay. Do you think they should be called something more Britpoppy? The Echo Bellies.
Yes, that's perfect.
The Echo Bellies,
that's going to be the name of your first album.
No, it's not. I'll decide what's going to be the name of my first album.
That's the name of your first album. Hundred things in your life didn't go how you planned. Baby, put down the knife, come and take my hand. It's a golden land, and it's called the
Tim.